Bible, now available in Montana. It's 833-39-BIBLE, 833-39-BIBLE.
An annual ranking of America's healthiest and unhealthiest states is out, and it claims one of the New England states ranks highest for health. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports.
An annual report from the United Health Foundation based on factors like smoking, physical activity, obesity, air pollution, and infant death rates finds Massachusetts is America's healthiest state because of its low obesity rates, low uninsured population, and a high number of mental health providers. Hawaii, Vermont, Utah, and California rounding out the top five. The lowest ranked or unhealthiest states were Louisiana and lastly Mississippi. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The holidays are a wonderful time of year, made even more wonderful when you're able to get all your packages out on time. So this holiday, ship them at Staples and get 10% off UPS shipping services. Staples is open 7 days a week and has all the mailing and shipping supplies you need. Staples. Shop, ship, smile. And right now, get 10% off UPS shipping services. Valid through 12/30/17. Exclusions apply. See associate for details.
Dallas, Texas is the ninth largest city in the nation. Dallas is also facing a shortage of police officers. Now, here's what Dallas Police Chief Renee Hall told city council members earlier this week as to why people are not signing up for the Dallas Police Academy.
We have nights, weekends, and holidays, and those are some of the things that are not necessarily attractive to the millennials who want all days off and to be the chief in 6 months. So we recognize that that is a challenge for us.
Police Chief Hall did say one of the things being done is lowering some of the standards on new recruits. As we grow closer to Christmas, the Pew Research Center reports a declining majority of Americans believe the biblical account of the birth of Jesus. USA Radio Network's John Clemens has the story.
According to Greg Smith of the Pew Research Center, there's been a decline in the percentage of Americans who believe in the Christmas narrative contained in the Bible.
The share of Americans who say they believe all four of those elements of the Christmas story, the virgin birth, that Jesus was laid in a manger, that wise men visited the baby Jesus, and that his birth was heralded by an angel of the Lord, that number now stands at 57%, down from 65% when we first asked these questions in 2014.
51% said they plan to attend services on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, which was a decline of 3% from the last survey. I'm John Clemens.
And finally, in a briefing today, outgoing Fed Chair Janet Yellen said the strength of the economy continues to improve and noted the economy should continue growing at a moderate pace. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Welcome to Legends of Success with John Resnick. This week, we reached into the vaults of Legends of Success and found a true treasure. Our interview with legendary entertainer Ed McMahon. On June 23rd, 2009, the world lost a legend, and Legends of Success lost a good friend. To honor Ed's legacy, it is our honor to air our last interview with Ed McMahon, this week on Legends of Success.
It's time for Legends of Success with John Resnick. Each week, John presents the most original success stories in America. Passionate and inspiring stories from some of the most innovative and successful entrepreneurs alive today. This is Legends of Success. Here's John Resnick.
And welcome to today's very special edition of Legends of Success, America's program that introduces you firsthand to our country's most successful entrepreneurs and acclaimed individuals, people who want to share with you their personal journey of overcoming obstacles and setbacks to make it to the top. I'm John Resnick, and I thank you for sharing part of your day with us. Well, folks, this is a very special edition of Legends of Success because I'm so honored to welcome back a friend who has been very good to me and good to this show. Additionally, he has played a role in weaving laughter and happiness into the fabric of our lives for many years. Let's welcome our friend, Ed McMahon. Ed, welcome back to Legends of Success.
Thank you, John. Nice to be back with you. And I liked what you said about laughter. I think that's so important, spreading laughter around. I've been doing that since I was just a little kid. When I found out I could get my first laugh, I was very happy. You know, that was something to find out. And I've been entertaining like that since I was just a little kid, a wee kid. I've been, you know, I was always the guy coming up with the ideas, coming up with the sketches, the little things when I was a kid. And then it just kind of grew from that.
And it kind of empowers you, didn't it? When you got your first laugh, did it empower you, Ed?
Oh, yeah. You feel very mighty. You feel, hey, boy, I can control something. I can handle something. It's a great feeling. It really is.
Well, Ed, I got to tell you, you gave me a great feeling. And for the listeners, when you came, last time we had you on, and we've probably added about 40 or 50 stations since, but you did a very special something for me. And I wanted the listeners to hear this. It was really a highlight and one of the most fun points of my life. I want to ask our engineer here in the hospitality at KFI Studios in Los Angeles today. Ron, can you play that clip from that last show? I want the listeners to hear this.
We're going all across America on Legends of Success, starring John Resnick. Today's special guest is Ed McMahon. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny Resnick.
Oh, God almighty, the highlight of my life, Ed McMahon introducing me. Ed, I want to give you a big hug. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, John.
Ed, I get chills when I hear that. How many people in the world get Ed McMahon to introduce them?
And with the right name and everything, you know, Johnny Resnick.
I tell you, I cherish that. I really do, Ed, because I'm going to tell you something. For all the years, I want to thank you on behalf of all the listeners out there. Ed, you brought happiness to us for so many years. What's it like to walk away from such a powerful show and lose such a dear friend, Johnny Carson?
Well, there's two elements there, of course. Walking away from the show was something we knew we had to do. Johnny, the master of timing, picked the right time. The way he announced it was incredible. They happened to have the affiliates meeting that year at Carnegie Hall. Well, you couldn't be in a classier place, a classier building, a classier venue than Carnegie Hall. And they invite him every year to go to the, you know, the affiliates meeting. That's the gathering for your audience. That's the gathering of all of the station owners, people that own the various stations and the hometowns they're listening to in right now. And these people all gather to hear about the new shows, what's going to happen, what are they doing, what's the changes, who's going to move from one night to another night. You know, and we just went through the one change. That was the beginning of the fall season. Now we're going through the second change, the second semester kind of. You know, in January, we go through the other changes. So what happens is, they announce all this. So every year they would invite people like Johnny to come and, you know, make a big deal out of it. They've invited me. I've gone to these meetings.
Sure.
But anyway, Johnny chose this particular meeting in 1991. Now, it took place in Carnegie Hall, as I mentioned, and out walks Johnny Carson. Now, that's pretty exciting. So the affiliates make a lot of money with the Tonight Show, so they're very happy to see Johnny Carson, aside from the fact that he is, you know, maybe the best thing that ever happened to television. And out he walks, and he announces that he's going to end the show. Well, it was quite a shock to everybody, But he gave everyone a year's notice. He said, next year, May 22nd, 1992, I'll do my last Tonight Show. Well, a murmur went through the crowd, and Bob Bright, who's the head of GE, he said, he's going to do what? He announced it because nobody knew this, right?
Oh, no.
Only one person knew it, Brandon Tartikoff. Now, this is a long answer to your question, but I have to give you a long answer. Now, as far as losing him, I never thought it was going to happen. I always felt that I would essentially outlive him, being older than he was, feeling that I would. I just felt in my heart, it's like you feel I lost my son 11 years ago. I always felt I was going to outlive him. So it was quite a shock to me, and they kept it from me. They didn't let me know how sick he was. Nobody told me. Nobody said, you know, you better go see Johnny. He's really sick. Nobody said that.
Sure.
The last time we had a meal together was on his boat, and that was a year prior to his death, and he seemed great to me. You know, we had just like a Tonight Show. It was wonderful. So both of those things are very special and occupy a great spot in my life.
You know, and I got to tell you, folks, if you miss watching those classic moments, I mean, they're just amazing Tonight Show, and there never was and there never will be a magic like Johnny and Ed had like that. But if you miss seeing that as much as I do, I want to tell you about a book Ed has put out, and this is going to take you as close as you can possibly get. It's called Here's Johnny by Ed McMahon. It's a very heartfelt, written book. It takes you behind the scenes, my memories of Johnny Carson, The Tonight Show, and 46 years of friendship. And, Ed, I guess it was pretty tough writing some of this book, was it not?
Well, it was in a sense, but yet I found joy because I remembered sketches we did. I remember things we did. And
yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, as I wrote it, he was very much alive for me. You know, I wasn't thinking of him not being with us. You know, I was thinking of him being in those pages. And I wanted to do this as a tribute to him. And I think we managed to do that. I think that when you read it, people tell me that, you know, they felt the presence of Johnny Carson. So that made me feel very good.
Well, it is a phenomenal book. And I just want to say, you know, I guess when you take me back to January 23rd, 2005, Ed, and how did you get the news that Johnny had passed?
It was a Sunday morning, and Pam and I, my wife and I, were in bed. It was early. I was just getting ready to watch Tim Russert. I always like to see him. I think he's a great broadcaster on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about 7-something, and the phone rang. Now, we're raising our niece. She turned 17 on Christmas Day, so my wife and I are in charge of that. My wife's sister died, so we're raising her little niece, mm-hmm. Our little niece, her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had her since she was like about, I guess about 12 or 13 years old. Now she's 17. You know, she's a young woman. But anyway, you expect to get calls on a Sunday morning early because there's plans going on.
Sure.
A teenager, you know, what's going to happen? What movie are we going to see? So it wasn't unusual for the phone to ring a little after 7. But when Pam picked it up, I heard a gasp. And I kind of looked over. I sleep on the right-hand side. I kind of looked over to my left, and I could see my wife's face was ashen.
Oh.
And I thought it was one of my children. I thought it was something wrong, a car accident or something.
Oh, boy.
I knew it was serious, and I looked at her, and she said, Johnny, and then handed me the phone. So that's how I found out.
Unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, our very special guest today on Legends of Success is our friend Ed McMahon, sharing the memories of such a tremendous career, such a tremendous friendship with Johnny Carson. And when we get back, we're going to go back and find out, when we get back from the short break, how did they meet? You know, and it seemed like, and I'm going to give away a little bit of what Ed's going to tell you, it almost seemed like that Ed's entire life was in preparation for the time he and Johnny met. Our exclusive guest today is Ed McMahon, our friend. It's such an honor to have him back. This is Legends of Success. We'll be back right after this.
Don't do what I did and run out. If it's working, don't quit. Why would you stop? Why undo all the good that's been accomplished?
You've got to feed them right for life.
Dynavite is
nutrition.
If I ever took Roy off of Dynavite.
No.
When I get to about three quarters.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite.
Oh, no. I've got a couple more scoops.
It's time to place my order. Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a bottle of LicoChaps free.
New, improved LicoChaps with omega-6, omega-3, vitamin E.
And now six extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try LicoChaps.
Free this week at Dynavite.com.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Steve Forbes of Forbes Magazine, and you're listening to Legends of Success with John Resnick.
I hold in my hands the envelopes. My 4.5-year-old daughter, Catherine Mary, could tell that these envelopes are hermetically sealed. They've been kept in a mayonnaise jar in Funkin' Wagnalls' porch since noon today. No one knows the answers inside these envelopes, but you, in your mystical and borderline divine way, will ascertain the answers without even knowing heretofore the questions. Isn't that correct, sir?
Do we have time for this now? Heart gets longer every time we do this. Now family plugs.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. We're really happy to have our friend Ed McMahon back with us. He was here before. It's got to be the highlight of my time on radio is to have someone like Ed McMahon. Ed started his career out in radio, but, you know, I guess when you really look back at the anomaly of the years that, Ed, you had with Johnny, just a slice of life here, I mean, this was magic, wasn't it?
Well, you prep because you're prepping all your life. I mean, whatever you're doing in broadcasting, if that's what you want to do, or entertainment, I have to think, use the word entertainment now. I used to call everything broadcasting before, but it's so much bigger than that. You know, I do a nightclub act now, Memories of the Tonight Show, and I do a stand-up act like Cary Grant did the end of his life when he traveled all around the country and did shows and you had a screen. In those days, you had a film screen. I have either a plasma screen if it's a small venue, or if it's a big venue, I have two big giant screens. But it's all memories of the Tonight Show, and it's like going to see a live Tonight Show broadcast. So I do that. So now I still use broadcaster because I think that that's what I really am, a broadcaster underneath. But in the broadest sense, it's entertaining. It's the entertainer part of me that functions the best. Anyway, preparation for meeting Johnny Carson was just doing what I was doing. I wanted to be the best I could be in whatever I did. And the opportunity came up for me to be the second banana. I decided to be a second banana. Why not? I had been a clown. I'd done everything you could do prior to that. I was on a cooking show. I worked with a woman in Philadelphia called Aunt Molly and Ed, and I was the mischievous nephew. You know how they put those promos out, those promo sheets. And the mischievous, I can't say the word, is mischievous nephew Ed interferes with the cooking, you know.
Sure.
So that was a show, you know, and people watched it. It was a show, Aunt Molly and Ed. Well, what was I doing? I was being a mischievous, I said it right, a mischievous Ed.
Uh-huh.
But I did that. I was a clown. I hosted a game show. I did an interview in the street kind of thing. I did all these things prior to meeting Johnny Carson. So when I met Johnny Carson, I had all the tools, all the marbles, all the things I needed to accept that job, and I got the job, and it was wonderful.
Well, you know, and you hit on something that was important. And, folks, I could spend an entire hour going into Ed's career. For example, he is a war hero. In the Marines, he was a colonel, 85 missions as a bomber, just an incredible war hero. But, you know, but when we go back, Ed, you hit on something that was important. You were in Philadelphia. TV Guide called you Mr. Television, and at one time in 1952, you had 13 shows going on at once, and then one day you had to meet, when you didn't have to, but when you met Johnny Carson, how difficult was it to go from such a tremendous spotlight in the career to playing second banana?
Oh, that was not difficult at all, because
really?
I think of the role as a very vital role, and, you know, it goes back in history. You know, if you remember all of, when you study in school, Greek dramas and everything, there always was another guy. There always was that other guy. All the Rock Hudson movies, the late Tony Randall was the friend of the leading man. There was always that guy. I describe it as the guy who winds up with Eve Arden. Okay?
Sure, right.
That's the guy. Anyway, there always was that other guy.
Yes.
And all through drama, early drama, the golden age of Greece, there were second bananas, there were friends of the top guy. In burlesque, that's where the term comes from, second banana, mm-hmm. because in burlesque, the main guy on the show is the top banana. So anybody that's working with him is a second banana. So that's how the whole idea comes from. I guess the original thing must be, you know, the big ape gets the top banana on the vine, whatever it is. I don't know where it comes from, where that originally comes from. But the idea of the second banana, the number two guy, is a very appealing role and a very difficult role. I liken it to playing basketball. You're going down the court with Michael Jordan, right? He's
right.
The top banana, no question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's going down the court, but he gets trapped. He shoots the ball over to you. You're the second banana. You do a couple of shots, dribble a couple. You get trapped. You wing it back to Michael Jordan. And this goes on all the way down the basketball court. And then when you get to the basket, Michael Jordan sinks the basket.
Right.
And that's what you have to remember. If you're a good second banana, you don't sink the basket. You let Michael Jordan sink the basket. You let Johnny Carson sink the basket. So I came into this role and said, wow, I like this. This is my kind of stuff. I want to be this guy that helps the star get down the court and sink the basket.
Yeah, but, you know, without your chemistry and without you having the smarts to know just how to assist, when to pull back or when to move forward, as great as Johnny Carson was, I think most people realize Johnny Carson, with all his talents, never would have been the Johnny Carson he was without that second banana, Ed McMahon.
Well, that's very flattering. Thank you. And, I have to believe that because that's how I felt at the time. I still feel now. I felt we were a team. I really did.
Wow.
A lot of teams are equal status. Each man is equal. We didn't have that quite that. But what we had was we had a special arrangement. I knew where I was. I certainly knew where he was.
Mm-hmm.
And also, conversely, he knew where I was and knew where he was. So that whole attitude worked. In other words, I could get away with murder with him. I could, you know, one night we got talking about something, and you may have seen this clip, and he said, who's on tomorrow night, Ed? It was a Thursday night. I said, I don't know. I'm not going to be here.
Yeah.
He says, what do you mean you're not going to be here? I said, I'm not going to be here. I'm off tomorrow night. He says, it's Friday night. I said, I know what night of the week it is. It's Friday night. I'm taking a night off. You certainly invented it. Well, he fell apart. He almost fell off the chair, you know. But he would do that knowing that I wouldn't get myself trapped in there. Well, that takes a lot of trust. But you have to trust your second banana. I mean, like, again, that basketball analogy, you have to trust that other man. If you don't trust him, then you won't throw the basketball to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks, again, the book written by our guest today, Ed McMahon, is called Here's Johnny. There are so many anecdotes, and there's so many behind-the-scenes stories. Ed, when you first met Johnny, was it an instant chemistry? It was an instant magic?
Yes, it was. Apparently, when I walked in for the so-called audition, which was not really an audition, he apparently made up his mind just then. He told me many, many years later that he looked at me and he said, that's the guy. Now, that was before I ever did anything. But all he was looking for was a guy with a, you know, a big guy with a good voice.
Sure.
He could play off my size. You know, he saw a lot of things in that, apparently. And I got the job instantaneously. I learned many, many years later.
Well, and let me ask you, you know, you're prepping, I alluded to this before, your whole life you're doing things that would prep you for the eventuality of meeting Johnny Carson, you guys coming together. What was it like? Tell me about the audition. How did you actually meet him, and what was that audition like?
Well, the audition was very, very simple because we were both looking out a window. There were two windows in his office dressing area in this little theater where he was doing the show. And we were looking out the window because they were changing the marquee on the theater across the street, the Schubert Theater. We were in the little theater across the street is the Schubert Theater on 44th Street. Now, we were watching them lift. There were four cranes, not just changing the lettering. They were changing the entire marquee. Mm. Well, that was quite an endeavor in the middle of Manhattan to tie up traffic and do that. Johnny and I are looking out. We each have our own window. So there were about three questions. Where'd you go to school? What are you doing now? Are you living in Philadelphia? Do you commute back and forth? Yes. And can you do that and so forth? I said, yes. Well, Ed, it was nice meeting you. Thanks for coming up from Philadelphia. And that was it. It was over.
Wow. and that was for a show that was before The Tonight Show, correct?
That was for Who Do You Trust? Yes, a game show. Mm-hmm. And they had to replace the announcer. The announcer, a guy named Bill Nimmo, got his own show. And when he did, ABC wouldn't let him do the show that they had. You know, Who Do You Trust? He had to go to another network. So, you know, the rules they had in those days,
sure.
Crazy rules. Anyway, they needed a new guy to replace him, and I was the new guy.
And what a chemistry it was. And I understand that after a run with that, when we get back, and I want to talk to you, that when the offer finally came up for The Tonight Show, it wasn't an automatic yes from Johnny Carson.
Not at all.
It really wasn't. And when we get back from this break coming up, I want you to share that with listeners because I don't think a lot of people knew about that. There was also a show that a lot of people don't know that Johnny didn't do so well at in his history. And how this programmer made the decisions he made before Johnny was a hit with you is just incredible. Ladies and gentlemen, Ed McMahon, I'm telling you, where else do you get a chance to have a gentleman like Ed McMahon come right into your home and share the behind-the-scenes stories of a phenomenal piece of history in television? I'm John Resnick. This is Legends of Success. We'll be back with more right after this.
USA Radio News.
If Congress sends me a bill before Christmas, the IRS, this is just out, this is breaking news, has just confirmed that Americans will see lower taxes and bigger paychecks beginning in February.
President Donald Trump urging lawmakers to finish work on a massive tax bill so the American taxpayers can restart. President Donald Trump urging taxpayers to finish work on a massive tax bill. Earlier today, speaking at the White House, President Trump praised the efforts that led to a tentative agreement, saying we're close. Meanwhile, House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi says you're getting ripped off.
What they're doing is dishonest. In terms of telling the middle class they're getting a tax hike, when in fact they're getting ripped off. They're robbing the future, ripping off the middle class.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
To most, the holidays sound something like this. But when you have a million things to do, the holidays can sound much different. Fortunately, Staples has the latest electronic gifts, like Bluetooth headphones and speakers, to streaming devices and smart home solutions. And when you order online at staples.com, you can pick up in-store in an hour. So now it's easier than ever to get great gifts for everyone on your list. Staples. More holiday fun, less holiday hassles.
On June 23rd, 2009, the world lost a legend. Our country lost a Marine and decorated war hero. And Legends of Success lost a good friend, Ed McMahon. To honor Ed's legacy, it is our honor to air our last interview with Ed McMahon this week on Legends of Success. We hope that you enjoy it as much as we did.
Would you welcome Mr. Warmth, Don Rickles?
Ed, I used to be very close with, but he got too big.
Yeah.
He sits around now with his wife. We're bigger than Johnny.
He's got shows all over.
Star Search, Hunt Your Dog, Look for Your Monkey, Find Your Animal, Win a Weekend, 7 weeks in El Segundo. It's a whole thing. And he keeps telling me, isn't it a shame how Johnny's doing bad? I'm a friend. The guy knocks you. I don't need you. Belch, I hope your beer truck blows up.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick with our special guest today, Ed McMahon, coming to you today from the courtesy of KFI AM 640 in Los Angeles. You know, Ed, I got to thank you, too, because without the support of guests like you, when I first called and invited you on, you didn't have to come on the show, and I want to thank you. Your support's been tremendous.
It's okay, John, anytime.
Going back, Ed, I was alluding to that. You were first on, you met Johnny, you did the show, Who Do You Trust? But when Johnny got that offer for The Tonight Show, a lot of people don't realize that you were very pivotal in making that happen. He didn't automatically say yes, did he?
No, he did not. He was kind of reluctant, wondering, you know, we'd go out and have dinner, and he'd be musing about, you know, they want me to do the show, I don't know. You know, we wouldn't talk about it a lot because, you know, he was very close to the vest. You know, he played his cards very close to the vest, mm-hmm. and everybody can understand that reference now with all the poker shows they see. But it was a thing where, you know, he knew, you know, what he was doing, and he didn't necessarily expand information to anybody. So even though I was as close as anybody could be to him mm-hmm. during those times, because he was between marriages, I was always his best friend between marriages. When he was not happy at home, he was happy with me. Anyway, what happened was he kind of kept that to himself. But every once in a while, he'd allude to it or something, and I'd say, "Oh, Johnny, you know, when you guest hosted, you're the best." And I just throw in, I wouldn't do a sell job, mm-hmm. but over the course of an evening, it might come up two or three times during dinner, after dinner, whatever. We were together for some while. It would come up, and I would throw in my 2 cents worth, because he would open up the door, and I would say, "Oh, you'd be great. Come on. You could do that. You'd be wonderful." But he was mulling it over in his mind.
Well, and he had a fear, because your Who Do You Trust was a half-hour show, correct?
Yes.
And the Tonight Show was, what, an hour and 45?
That's now in those days, an hour and 45, and it was live.
Oh, I mean, that's a huge leap. That is amazing.
It really is. To figure, just again, getting back to that key word, entertaining, to entertain somebody for an hour and 45 minutes, to keep it fresh, keep it vital, keep it important, keep it, you know, interesting, that's quite a thing to think about when you figure, hey, what am I going to do for an hour and 45 minutes? You know, what's going to happen out there? So, and when he takes it over, he doesn't just take over, you know, the hosting, he takes over the whole construction of the show, mm-hmm. you know, what goes in there, like an Aunt Blabby, like a Karnak, like a Carson Art Players, all the other ingredients that made their way into that kind of performance vehicle, you know, all of those things have to be added. They're not there automatically. You have to really add them to make sure they work, you know.
He was a driven perfectionist, was he not?
Yes.
You said also, and this is good for our listeners to hear, Ed, that when you take icons like the Ed McMahons and Johnny Carsons, Johnny was actually nervous all the time, but he held that pretty well, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he was nervous before he went on because he would use that nervousness, you know, to heighten his performance.
Sure.
When kids ask me, when I say kids, you know, I'm getting at that age where Milton Berle used to say kid to me, yeah. And I never understood it till I got into these years myself. Now I'm saying kids, everybody, because everybody around you was a kid, you know.
That's great.
John, when you get into the vintage years yes. where I am,
sure.
I'm enjoying the hell out of my vintage years, but all of a sudden I start saying, these kids, well, you know, it was like when I was in the Marine Corps. One day I became the instructor. Sure. My instructor left to go form a squadron and leave with 23 other guys. They formed a squadron right on our base and left us.
Oh.
So there were 7 students going through this hot airplane, the Corsair. And the next day the general came by and he looked at me. I was the tallest kid of the 7 standing there. He said, "What's your name?" I said, "Lieutenant McMahon, sir." He said, "You're the instructor." So here I was instructing these kids. Now, these kids were the same age I was,
oh boy.
But I was the instructor. So that's what I'm referring to now. These kids, you know.
Yeah, well, and you know, the amazing thing to this story, though, you instructing kids, and I want people to understand the impact of this. Ed McMahon trained fighter pilots to land on carriers. And the other thing I wanted to bring up, Ed, you had 85 combat missions. How in the world did you do that without getting your butt shot down?
Well, I mean, a couple of days, I thought that was not going to happen. A couple of days, I didn't think we'd be having this interview. There were a couple of days where my butt was really in dangerous areas, let me put it that way. But you get through it, you know, you do your job, and, you know, you have to really admire everybody that's out there doing their job. You know, nobody likes war any less than the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps, as I'm a Marine, I can talk for the Marine Corps.
Sure.
The Marines hate war more than anybody else in the whole world, but we have to do it. We're like the Domino pizza guy. We brag, but we deliver.
John Resnick here with our dear friend Ed McMahon on Legends of Success. We'll be back right after this.
Okay, we are back. My good friend, this show would have been almost impossible to do, and it sure has been a hell of a lot more fun to do. Ed has been a rock for 30 years sitting over here next to me, and Dr. I got a letter. And we have been friends for 34 years. A lot of people who work together on television don't necessarily like each other. This hasn't been true. We've known each other 34 years. We have dinner together. We're good friends. You cannot fake that on television. And some of the best things we've done on the show have just been, you start something, I'll start something. I got a letter the other day from a guy. It came from Television Guide. And he says, "Now you're going to find out if Ed McMahon really thinks you're funny." Due to your big laugh.
I do. It's been wonderful. Really, I have to say something. It's just been a joy. I met you. We talked for 7 minutes. I just found out the other day there were 7 other people up for that job, and I got it. I thank you. My family thanks you forever. Thank you, sir.
We have some sad news to share this morning. NBC News has just learned that Ed McMahon, the longtime sidekick of Johnny Carson on NBC's Tonight Show, has died. He was 86 years old.
Legends of Success.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Entrepreneurs expect a solid finish to the year and are confident in the 2018 economy, according to the Fall 2017 Bank of America Small Business Owner Report. Nearly 3/4 of small business owners are optimistic their 2017 year-end revenue will surpass that of 2016. In addition, economic confidence also surged by more than 10% from last fall, as almost half of entrepreneurs expect the national economy to improve in 2018.
However, growth plans remain flat from last fall, and plans to hire are down from last year. Sharon Miller, head of Small Business Bank of America.
With unemployment at record lows, business owners may be experiencing challenges in finding qualified candidates. This has led to a decline in hiring plans for the year ahead. Even with that challenge, the short-term future is very bright as entrepreneurs are upbeat about the 2018 economy.
For more, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Have a question or comment about the show? You can call John at 1-800-458-5656 or send him an email, john@legendsofsuccess.com. This is Legends of Success with John Resnick.
Ed McMahon is our exclusive guest today on Legends of Success. We're coming to you from the hospitality of KFI Studios, AM 640 in Los Angeles. Ed, tell me what that first show was like with Johnny Carson. You went from a half-hour show to an hour and a half. How many viewers were there? How nervous were you? What happened?
Well, you know, you're always nervous. You're always a little concerned starting something new. It was a brand new thing for us. I asked Johnny, and this is in the book, and I think it's a very interesting thing because Johnny's office complex was up above where we were, the studio.
Yes.
The studio started up in the back. There was a door where the audience came in. So I either picked him up or he picked me up. I forget what happened, but the two of us walked down that fateful Monday, October 1st, 1962. We walked down the stairs in the studio. Now, you know how those studios look. You have a staircase that people get into their seats and so forth. So we came down those stairs. Mm. Now, you can imagine that scene. And as we're walking down, and the reason we were walking down, they wanted to put us in the set and try lighting and see what the lighting was at the desk, see what the lighting was for me at the chair, sure. See when I moved down the couch, you know, and as I moved down, the different guests came out and so forth. And then where he stood for his monologue, you know, that sacred spot where the star was, where he stood and did his monologue. They wanted to check everything. So as we're walking down, I say to him, now you have to understand, we're friends. We're not just two guys doing a show. It's not like you got a star and you got an announcer. These are two friends who have worked together now for 4 years, mm-hmm. who have been out to dinner countless, hundreds and hundreds of times, and have gotten to be buddies. You know, we're pals now, but we're starting this thing. So we're walking down the stairs, and I say to him, I said, John, how do you see my role down here tonight? You know, I just wanted to have him give me some pointers, something, some information. What does he want from me, right?
Yeah, sure.
He looks at me, he said, Ed, I don't even know how I see my own role down here tonight. Let's just go down and entertain the hell out of them.
Wow.
Now, boy, if that's not the best piece of advice he ever gave me.
Really?
And gave us. And he gave us the same advice. We went down, and for 30 years, almost 6,000 shows, we entertained the hell out of them. And that was the essence of the 30-year run of The Tonight Show.
Our exclusive guest today is Ed McMahon. This is Legends of Success. We'll be back right after this.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. According to a Bank of America survey, traveling more is one of the top New Year's resolutions for Americans in 2018. Jason Gaughan, Bank of America executive.
You may not realize it, but holiday spending can help jumpstart your 2018 travel. According to Bank of America's debit and credit card data, the average consumer spent $1,000 in total retail purchases last holiday season. This year, turn your gifting into your next dream trip by using our travel rewards card to rack up points. The Bank of America Travel Rewards credit card lets you earn 1.5 points on every dollar spent on purchases, which can be redeemed toward travel, meaning points earned for a watch for Dad in December can be redeemed toward a hotel purchase you make in the spring. Best of all, there are no blackout dates and points don't expire, so you can start your New Year's resolution anytime.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/travelconnected.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. We're really happy to have our friend Ed McMahon back with us. This is such amazing. You know, and I said it before, and I cannot say it often enough. It was just an anomaly. It was an anomaly. It was something that was never before and will never be again. I know Leno's out there and Letterman, they do a fine job and some of the others. But, Ed, As much as I admire them, they don't come close, and I think anyone that saw your show knows nothing will ever come close to this. And the thing that I wanted to also add in here, a lot of folks don't understand, Johnny Carson prepped a lot for his monologue, but your stuff back and forth was rarely, if ever, prepped at all. You're back and forth. Am I correct?
Oh, absolutely. Most of that was just totally off the spot, on the spot, rather, off the top of our heads. If we had an Aunt Blabby to do, there were lines, you know, but we didn't ever put it up on the stage. We never went on stage and did it. We would sit on a couch in his office, just look at the cards. I had certain questions I had asked to get the answers. You know, well, you just came back from France, you know, and yes, I did, you know, pour de moi, du moi, but du, what. So when it was, we had to go through these things, right?
Yeah, right.
But we would do it so casually. We wouldn't even do it twice. You know, we got to the point where we didn't even do that. Karnak, totally ad-lib. All the stuff about Karnak at the beginning,
really?
I ad-libbed that. That was never written down.
Really?
I finally had to do it one time with my secretary, my assistant, because college kids were writing me, and they wanted to do Karnak in their fraternity, or they wanted to do it at the school, you know, at recess or something.
Sure.
So they asked for the thing. It was never written down. So one day I had to sit my assistant down. I said, you better take this down. We got to get a copy of this. So, you know, famous seer, sage, soothsayer, all-knowing, all-telling, all-omniscient, and former dress designer to Janet Reno, Karnak the Magnificent. You know, that was all ad-libbed. And then every night when we did a Karnak, either he or I would come with that, you know, famous dress designer, whatever it was, the snapper, what we call the snapper, to Karnak. He'd come up with it most of the times. I'd come up with it and offer it, and he'd say, yeah, do that. Let's do that one. We just do that just before I'd leave him. You know, I spent every night with him 5 minutes before the show. I would spend maybe sometimes 10 minutes, and then I'd go up and do the warm-up. Now, in those 10 minutes, we never talked about the show.
Really?
He never gave me a piece of information. He never said, do this, do that, except one time, and I'll tell you that the next time we get together, I'll tell you that one time when he gave me the advice. But it's in the book. If anybody wants to find out, they can get the book. I'll put a blatant plug in for my book.
Please
do. If you want to find out the one time he gave me information, it's in the book. Okay,
I will plug the book again because there's just something about this. It takes you right back to the memories and watching that show. And you saved Johnny a couple of times. You know, he had an uncanny ability to bounce back from a lousy joke or one that was just cold, and you had a finesse to be able to pull those expressions out of him that were amazing.
Well, you know what it was. We knew that, and the director knew that. You know, the producer knew that. They knew that things, when you do a show that long and you do it in an ad-lib situation, that things aren't always going to be great. And they knew some of the material, you know, you'd have a joke and you'd wonder about it. You say, well, we'll try it tonight. You know, and I wasn't involved in that. I had nothing to do with that. But like, I just did my work. What I said was I showed up in the middle of the afternoon and go in and showed the Alpo puppy where the bowl was so he could find the bowl later on tonight.
Yeah.
And I went in, you know, and talked to the producer. I wouldn't even see Johnny till just before showtime.
Sure.
And we would tape every night at 5:30. Johnny was very strict about that, boy. All the clocks were set at 11:30 when we went on 11:30. Then later we went on 11:35. But all the clocks were set in the studio so that when you're in there, you thought it was 11:30 at night because you're in a darkened, you know, studio
with
lights. You don't think, and there's no windows.
Sure.
So you think it's 11:30 at night, and that's your mental feeling that you're right in the time frame where you are in reality, in the East Coast at least, the West Coast, 10:30 Central, as they say.
Sure.
Anyway, that's your mentality. You're in that time frame in your head. But I never saw Johnny, you know, during the day unless we were doing something like a Karnak, Mighty Carson Art Players, where there were props, where there, you know, or he was doing a Carl Sagan, where he would do that, and we had a telescope, and we had a world, and we had things where we had to use, you know, one time we did a sketch in a cave. He was the oldest man in the world, right?
Yeah, right.
And he's, and you're laughing already because you read the book.
I know,
but
great.
He's the oldest man in the world, And he comes out, and he's got the loincloth garment on. He's got a beard that goes down all the way past his knees. And he's got the staff of life, you know, that thing they carry, whatever that's called.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, and I'm interviewing him. I'm in a trench coat. I've got a clipboard. I've got a pencil. I'm interviewing the oldest man in the world. And the sketch is going nowhere. I mean, a couple of jokes just die. We can't save it. Even ad-libbing, nothing works. And he looks at me, and he starts to turn, and he's supposed to be standing there, right?
Sure,
as soon as
man.
He starts to turn, I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm getting the hell out of this sketch." And he walks back into the cave, and I say, "Take me with you," and I follow him into the cave.
That's great. Now, anybody else would have gone back to the couch or the desk.
That's
been
right. But he goes back into the cave. I go back after him. Well, that's the kind of stuff. You can't write that stuff.
No.
You know, and that just happened because the sketch was bad.
Hey, Ed, and, you know, this time's gone so quickly. I've got to ask you one question. If you could, I don't know how you could do this in 30 seconds or 40 seconds, but May 22nd, 1992, what went through your mind and how did you feel walking down the hall to the parking lot for, after that last show?
Well, I felt content. I felt that we did it. I felt... we accomplished a great thing. I felt that we did almost 30 years of fine entertainment, getting back to that word, entertaining.
Sure.
And I felt that I was a big part of it. I made my contribution. And I felt very very warm and, as they say, warm and fuzzy. I felt good inside. I was glowing. I was happy. And I guess the key word I mentioned earlier, I was content.
Ed, thank you so much for your friendship. And on behalf of our listeners, we love you. And we wish you another 50 years.
Thank you, John. Nice being with you.
I want to thank Ron Sokoloff and KFI Studios in Los Angeles today for their hospitality, the team at Legends of Success, Michael Parks, and the beautiful and intelligent Billy Resnick, my best friend. You've been listening to Legends of Success, the most original success stories in America. Thanks for being with us. I'm John Resnick. We'll see you next week.
Without you, I'm nothing. Without you, I'm nowhere. Without you, there's something missing. Without you, I seldom smile. So sit back, relax, and listen to me who digs your style.
Without you, all my tears would pour. I might not never laugh no more.
Dynavite is the best thing that's ever happened to my dogs, you know, besides me, of course.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a bottle of LicoChaps free.
New, improved LicoChaps with omega-6, omega-3, vitamin E.
And now 6 extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try LicoChaps.
Free this week at Dynavite.com.
Dynavite is nutrition. DINOVITE.com.
Green light. Hey, girl. School zone. I'm getting hungry. Car changing lanes. You want to meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.